Welcome to Calming Harp, the sounds of David's Psalms. I'm glad you've joined us for this brief moment we share together. I will be playing some of the music that has been brought out of the Psalms. My name is Steve Reese. I play the harp. And over the last several years, I've been bringing the sounds of David's Psalms into recordings. You can find a lot of my music on my website, www.calmingharp.com. I have CDs available and MP3s. And you can go to YouTube. If you go to YouTube and then type in Peregrinati, Peregrinnatti, you will find hours of beautiful harp music that you can just play in the background and be calmed with the music that David may have played for his sheep at one time or another. So as we share this half hour, join me and enjoy the sounds of David's harp. Well, good. Well, it's afternoon. I'm sorry I'm late. Some of you, I know, wait for me to get this out there so you can have it for part of your worship time. And I'm sorry I'm late today. I had to play my harp for a fellowship that was meeting here in town, and they asked me to play for them, and that meant I had to stay. And then they had lunch afterwards that they wanted me to stay for. So I'm late. Sorry. Anyway, it's here. So today I was thinking about heart, and one of the things that got me thinking about heart was my father-in-law had to take him for an echocardiogram this week. The doctor had picked up a murmur, and they wanted to check that out and see how extensive it was and if it's something that we needed to address. And so I spent the afternoon with him in the cardio lab getting an echocardiogram and then a chest x-ray and such. But it got me thinking. I thought, oh, that would be a good subject for to talk about this for this week. And so since I work with the Psalms primarily, I plugged in to my eSword. I plugged the word heart into the Psalms and for the search engine, and my goodness, heart is everywhere. And I found that there was three different forms of the word. The first basic word is lev, which just means heart, and lalev is a little bit extended word. It's basically the same thing. And then there's another word that was just used once, and it actually means more like the intestine or the gut. And but what they all are talking about, and the central idea, especially out of the Hebrew language, is it's the central aspect of our being. It's where we make our decisions. It's what defines who we are. And when we ask, like David in Psalm 51, to create in me a clean heart, a new heart, he isn't actually asking for that thing that's going lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub to be changed. He's not asking for a transplant. That's not a very desirable proposition. I've worked in the ICU in a lot of hospitals. And a couple of the different units I've worked have been transplant units, and people who get heart transplants, even though they've been given more life, they have signed up for a rigorous route of test after test after test, time after time after time. And in so many ways, their life really isn't their own. And so they have to take special drugs, they have to do follow-up appointments, they have to keep checking for rejecting the heart tissue, all of those things. And so David's not asking for that literal transplant, but what he's asking for in that Psalm 51 that we've covered before is a complete recreation of the way he makes his decisions, of the core central part of who he is, of how he approaches life, of everything that enters into his decisions and actions. And that's really how we need to be looking at changing our heart. You know, in the New Testament a lot, Paul especially, Colossians, Romans, several different places, he's saying that we have this new, he describes it as a new mind. And obviously that's not a brain transplant either. But what all of this represents is a transformation in the way we think, the way we decide, the way we do, the way we act, who we are, how we present ourselves to the world. I know in a lot of Oswald Chambers, he continually talks about giving up our right to ourself. Instead of continuing to try to make people understand us and try to protect our reputation, he instead challenges us to give up our right to ourself. It's interesting, Yeshua, Jesus, even standing before Pilate, was given the opportunity to, they brought you here. What are you here for? What are you going to say for yourself? And he was silent. As a lamb brought before the slaughter, he opened not his mouth, it says in Isaiah. And sometimes that's the best thing for us, is to not open our mouth, especially if we're going to open it up to justify our actions or to justify our words or to, oh, you didn't understand me. You need to, I need to help you understand what I meant. And sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes there is a misunderstanding, and sometimes we do need to clarify, and that's good. But if it's in the place of somebody who doesn't respect us, and they're obviously not going to respect us, and yet we're trying to get them to give us our just due, I think that's where Oswald is, and Yeshua, Jesus, and Paul, and many others are saying, let it go. It's not worth it. It's not going to help anyway. And that's part of what, it's interesting. Before I get too far ahead of myself in my comments, I was going to read out of Psalm 19 is one of the places where heart shows up. And it's one of my favorites. I still haven't gotten it down to music, but it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yahweh are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse you me from the secret, my secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins, and let not them not have dominion over me. Then I will be upright, and I shall be innocent from great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to do something different. I hope it turned out okay. When I was in college, this is over 50 years ago, late high school into college, we were taking some of the Psalms and we were singing, making songs out of them. And one of them we did was Psalm 19. And I'm going to use my singing voice, which I've already confessed is not the best, but many of you have encouraged me to do more, so here we go again. And I'm going to sing the way we did it back then. It's not out of the psalm, the music to put letter like I do with the psalms usually, but it's the tune that we used way back then, and I wanted to share it with you. I thought it's kind of fun. It's a nice way to help remember the psalm, to sing it. So here we go. I'm going to play the harp and sing along with it, and we'll see where it goes. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, yea, sweeter also than the honey. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. More to be desired are they than gold, nay, than much fine gold, yea, sweeter also than the honey. Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. To be desired, are they then gold? Yea, then much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Yeshua, your law is perfect, and your testimony is sure. You make the simple wise. That's what you do. In fact, you desire the simple, because the wisdom they possess is from you. Your statutes are right, and they cause our heart to rejoice. Your commandments are pure, Father, and we love them, and they enlighten our eyes. They give us sight. The fear of the Lord is clean. It does endure forever. And Yahweh, your judgments are true and righteous altogether. We can trust you when your judgments come forth. They are trustworthy. Desired are you, Yahweh, than gold, and you are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. You promise the land of milk and honey, and you are definitely sweeter than the honey. And as David said, keep me from presumptuous sins, and let me not have dominion, and let them not have dominion over me. Then I will be upright and innocent of the transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. So there is my offering to you for the day. Hope it wasn't too bad, but I think you get the idea. And I'm sure many of you would enjoy taking those words and singing them yourself. Wonderful way to remember the Psalms. So continuing on with where we were talking, my wife posted this. She got a from somebody else's Facebook post, but it's really good, and I thought I'd read it to you because I think it's appropriate to what we're talking about today. A pastor asked an old farmer decked out in his bib overalls to say grace for the morning breakfast. So the old man started, "Lord, I hate buttermilk," the farmer began. The visiting pastor opened one eye to glance at the farmer and wonder, where was this going? The farmer loudly proclaimed, "Lord, I hate lard." Well, now the pastor was growing a little bit concerned. What kind of prayer was this? Without missing a beat, the farmer continued, And Lord, you know I don't much care for raw white flour." The pastor once again opened an eye to glance around the room, and he saw that he wasn't the only one that was beginning to feel uncomfortable with this peculiar prayer. And then the farmer added, "But Lord, when you mix them all together and bake them up, I do love them warm, fresh biscuits. So Lord, when things come up that you don't like, when life gets hard, when we don't understand what you're saying to us, help us to just relax and wait until you're done a-mixing, and it will probably be even better than the biscuits. Amen. Okay, now, carry on." And I think so many times, myself included, what would have happened if that pastor would have swept in there and shut the man down? "We don't pray like that." He would have missed one of the more beautiful prayers that I've ever heard. And what would have happened if if everybody else had walked out or made a ruckus, they would have missed. And what would have happened if they'd have cut him off in the middle? They never would have understood what he was getting at. The whole context would have been lost, and the meaning would never have been reached. And I find myself many times in life with the same thing. Many times I don't allow for the full story to come in before I make my decision. And quite regularly, that ends in disaster. And it doesn't even have to be that I meant for it to come into disaster. In fact, usually I don't. But in the end, we end up picking up the pieces and backtracking and doing some repairs and then moving forward. And it's interesting how our Heavenly Father sets us in the middle of people. I saw one time a pastor brought in a wheelbarrow full of rocks. And he wasn't very specific about what he was going to do with them, but as he got to speak, and he asked, first of all, the first question was, well, does anybody know where these rocks came from? Well, there's quite a few guesses, and then one wiser person went over to the wheelbarrow and picked up one of the rocks, and he said, well, I'd say these things came out of the riverbed because they're all rounded off. They're kind of semi-polished. They're not all sharp like if they had been picked off the mountainside. So I think they came from the river. And the pastor commended him for his observational skill. And then he went on to ask another question. So if these rocks are from the river, how is it that they came to be so smooth instead of like those jagged rocks like you talked about on the side of the mountain? Why are the river rocks smooth like that? Well, once again, there was a lot of guesses, and finally another person kind of halfway guessed, said, well, maybe because they keep bumping against each other. And the pastor smiled and he said, you're closer to the truth than you know. So then he said, I've got another question for you. He said, why do we only find rocks like this in the river? I mean, aren't there other places where rocks bump together? And once again, there was quite a few guesses as to why that was the observation. Until one person said, well, is it because the water's always moving and it's always making the rocks tumble? And like they never rest, they're always bumping against each other all the time? And the pastor smiled and he said, I think y'all are beginning to understand what I'm trying to get at here. He said, we're in the river. In fact, Ezekiel talks about the river of God that comes out of the throne and down into the dry valley, and where it goes, life springs up. But we're all in the river. Remember Ezekiel, there's one place where he crossed and it was to his ankles, and another place he crosses to his knees and then up to his waist, and then finally he had to swim because the river got deeper and deeper and deeper. And the whole lesson was that if we're going to stay in the river, and if we're going to be one of those rocks, it's interesting, the word for rock is eved in Hebrew, and that's very similar to servant, and sometimes even father. All of those roots, words have similar roots. And so if you think of yourself being a rock as a servant in the river coming from the throne, that water is going to keep moving us. It's going to keep tumbling us around. It's going to keep keep bringing our sharp edges against each other. And there's another place in Scripture where it says iron sharpens iron. And, well, maybe we could also say stone smooths stone. And over the process of time, we get smoother and smoother. And a lot of those pieces that get chipped off turn into sand, and that sand grinds and grinds and kind of polishes as well. And frankly, none of that is really desirable. It's kind of painful. You know, you get a sharp edge knocked off, and that's painful. You know, I know when I put a cut in my hand or knock off a piece of skin, it hurts for a few days. But the lesson here is that we can accept that hurt. We can accept that tumbling. We can accept that grinding. We can accept that crashing, knowing that we're in the river. And that if we stay true to that, our Heavenly Father will bring us out polished stones, living stones, part of His structure that He builds His new kingdom from. So my challenge to myself and to you all this week is to stay in the river, to receive the bumping and the grinding and the sanding and the polishing. Because in the end, we all are going to turn out to be those living stones fitted together for our Father's designs and plans and purposes. So I hope you've enjoyed our time together. Stay tuned, as I say. Little pun. I have many more songs to share with you. I have more to share about how this all comes together. And I pray that you will share and help people, especially those you see stressed, especially in these times that we're going through. Bring people to this calming and this peace and this rest that this beautiful music of the Psalms of David brings to each of our lives. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you next week. Many, many blessings to you all today.